Welcome to Voices to Veterans. Each month, host David E. Grogan brings you the real-life stories of an American veteran. From World War II, through Vietnam, to the present day, these veterans put their lives on the line to protect our freedom. You'll learn why they served, the obstacles they overcame, and how their service influenced the rest of their lives. Most of all, you'll be inspired by their service. Now our host, David E. Grogan.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural Voices to Veterans podcast. My name is Dave Grogan, and each month I'll be talking to you about the story of a different American veteran. I promise you are in for a real treat because these men and women are heroes in every sense of the word. They come from every walk of life, they've served in war and served in peace, and they all have stories that need to be told. And as you will hear, some have paid a very high price for their service. But to a person, they'd all do it again if asked, as they all view their service as one of the defining periods of their lives. Now, since this is our first time together, let me give you a little background on Voices to Veterans. I started interviewing veterans and helping tell their stories a little over 3 years ago in July 2017. I wanted to do it because with the all-volunteer military, fewer people have military experience and may not be aware of what serving in the military entails. What better way to convey the experience than through the lives of veterans themselves? Best of all, every veteran has a story to tell that we can all learn from. Maybe they had a tough childhood and used the military to get a fresh start in life. Or maybe they were drafted and served because their country called. Or maybe they just wanted to serve. Given that wide variety, their experiences are all different. Some of their stories will make you laugh out loud, while others are going to make you cry. Every story, though, will make you proud there are people like them who serve. The first step was to find veterans to interview. That in itself was a challenge because veterans as a group often don't like to talk about their service. But since I'm a veteran too, with a long career in the Navy, so far they've been willing to talk to me. Let me tell you the story about how I found the subject of today's story. One morning when I was walking my dog Marley, I noticed one of my neighbors had a Vietnam veteran's license plate on his car. His name was Dick Berg, and I later approached him in his driveway and asked him if he'd be willing to let me interview him to talk about his service in the Army during the Vietnam War. Although he said he didn't think his story was anything special, which is what every veteran says, he agreed. A week later, we sat down in his dining room and we talked for about an hour and a half. I then wrote up his story, and after going over it with Dick to make sure it was accurate, I published it on a brand new Voices to Veterans webpage. I received a lot of comments to Dick's story, but one stands out in particular. Here is what Dick Berg's daughter wrote to me after seeing her father's story. "My boys enjoyed reading the interview and learning about their grandpa's life experiences. That's when I knew I had to keep interviewing veterans and making sure their stories get told." So without further ado, here is Dick Berg's story. Sergeant Dick Berg is the perfect veteran to lead off the Voices to Veterans spotlight. Dick is from Urbana, Illinois. He was drafted and entered the Army on April 20th, 1966, and then spent the next 8 weeks in boot camp at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Right after boot camp, he married his wife, Carol, and they drove off in July 1966 to Fort Gordon, Georgia, where Dick learned his Military Occupational Specialty, or MOS, which was Radio Relay and Carrier Operator. In layman's terms, Dick set up and operated radio stations to enable battlefield communications. It was a little unusual for a 19-year-old private to report to Fort Gordon with his wife. It was even more unusual for this new private to ask his first sergeant, who was like a god to a brand new soldier, if he could live off post. Amazingly, with Fort Gordon overflowing with students living everywhere in tents, the first sergeant gave Dick permission to live out in town. With the help of a hometown connection, Dick found a rental in the hill section of Augusta for $75 per month. At the time, Dick was making $100 per month, but he also received another $100 because he was married. Carol got a job out in town, and the Bergs enjoyed their stay in Augusta. Dick completed his schooling in October 1966 and remained at Fort Gordon to await his first set of orders. They came in when he was on leave in November. He was to report to Fort Bliss, Texas. But because he was on leave, the orders were canceled and he later received new orders. Report to the Republic of South Vietnam. Dick arrived in South Vietnam on February 21, 1967. He was assigned to Company B, 43rd Signal Battalion. He initially reported to Quy Nhon, which is about 401 miles northeast of Saigon, or Ho Chi Minh City as it is called today. Company B was new, and Dick was one of the first 8 to 10 members to arrive, so he had to wait there until his company grew to sufficient strength to carry out its mission. As they built their company base of operation, Dick's principal responsibility was to set up a radio station on a hill in the countryside about 10 miles northwest of Quy Nhon, as well as other sites as needed. The hill was about 200 feet high and had an ancient monument called Thap Benet on top of it. Dick put the antenna on top of the tower and assembled the radio station and the grounds around the tower. Keeping this radio station up and running was Dick's primary assignment until he departed Vietnam in February 1968. Dick's radio station handled tactical communications for U.S. units in Vietnam. There was another facility on the hill that had a direct line to Washington, D.C. Dick's station was manned 24/7 by one person, usually on 10 to 12-hour shifts. One person also manned the other facility, so it was just two soldiers on this hill, pulling night shifts and manning it in all kinds of weather. During the summer, the temperature would reach a muggy 110 degrees, and during the winter, it would rain nonstop, making it impossible to stay dry. Plus, there were enemy Viet Cong all around, but fortunately, Dick never came under attack. Perhaps it helped that there was a South Vietnamese camp at the base of the hill, or perhaps Dick was lucky that he got out of there before the Tet Offensive made the area hot. But he was always vigilant and always carried a weapon. He never knew when the situation might change. Dick has many stories about everyday life in Vietnam that will resonate with veterans of all generations. I've picked just a few to show you that you really need a sense of humor to survive in the military. One of my favorites was when Dick's new company commander, a spit-and-polish captain who transferred from Germany, bought a fancy new color TV to use at the company's base camp. He had Dick put a TV antenna up on the hill overlooking the camp, which required Dick to cut through the concertina wire around the camp to move the antenna and the cable up the hill. Once Dick got it all hooked up and the company commander turned on the TV, the picture was black and white. The company commander complained, "They told me it was a color TV." It was. What they didn't tell him was that stations in Vietnam didn't broadcast in color. On another occasion, Dick and a fellow soldier were on their hill drinking a beer and leaning against a guy wire securing a telephone pole. They were watching it rain up the valley about 30 miles away when lightning struck the radio station's antenna on the monument. Not only did it zap the radio station generators, but also both men received a jolt through the guy wire. Miraculously, they were uninjured and they had the radio station back in operation within hours. The final story involved the company commander lamenting how he'd put in the requisitions for lumber to build a barracks for his troops, but that he wasn't getting any response. He tried to do this on his own without going through his supply sergeant because he thought he'd have more success. When his supply sergeant heard this, he told the company commander to let him handle it. The supply sergeant collected 25 steaks, 50 chickens, and a bottle of Chivas Regal Scotch and told Dick to drive at night to the port of Quy Nhon, where a ship was being unloaded. After finding the supply sergeant's point of contact, Dick got his trucks in a line and the lumber they needed was loaded from the ships onto their trucks. The 3 truckloads of lumber turned into a 2-story barracks for 40 men. After that, the company commander relied on his enlisted leadership to get many jobs accomplished. Sergeant Dick Berg returned from Vietnam in February 1968. He went on to graduate from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign and raise a wonderful family with Carol. He credits his experience in Vietnam with helping him learn to work with all kinds of people, to listen to them, and to know what is important. I interviewed Dick for about 90 minutes. I could have spoken with him for hours. In my opinion, Dick is an American hero, and I salute him for his service. I wish him and Carol fair winds and following seas.
We hope you enjoyed this month's Voices to Veterans tribute. If so, please tell your family and friends and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast site. Also, if you know a veteran you'd like Voices to Veterans to consider saluting, please send an email with the veteran's name to voicestoveterans@gmail.com. Thank you for subscribing to Voices to Veterans, and we look forward to having you back for next month's Voices to Veterans salute.